Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
It is Friday afternoon. We always look forward to having a chat with this man. Hello, Richo. How are you, mate? Are you there, Richo?
I can barely hear you.
Hang on. Let me see if I can fix that. Is that better?
A little better.
A little better. I get the technician in and I bang the desk.
That's better now.
Is that better now?
Now I can hear you.
See, it's just like turning off the computer and turning it on. You bang the desk and somehow it works.
Okay.
Graham, thank you for your time as always on a Friday afternoon. You wrote a column this week which was referring to the Alan Jones story. But, you know, I want to touch on what you said at the end of your particular piece in The Australian. And you said that if you were a campaign director for one of the major parties now, the new problem of really is only in the last decade, and it's how to handle social media. What kind of advertising spend do you allocate to the new media? What evidence is there that it's actually working? Social media is a real problem now for political parties, is it not?
I think it's... A massive new field. It's a big challenge for political parties because we've got to get a handle on it, and we've got to know how far we can take it. But all, you know, as I said in that piece, we've got to know if it works or not.
That's right.
Before you can go and throw lots of money at it, you want to make sure you get a bang for your buck.
You do. There's a podcast that I listen to on a regular basis. It's done by a local businessman, and he interviews other business people. And I was listening to a particular episode the other day, and it's basically a young girl who is what they call an influencer, right?
Yeah.
She has 661,000 followers, and her job is to basically wear jewellery and fashion and dresses and shoes and be seen in different locations around Sydney. She gets paid big bucks by being an influencer on social media, for goodness sake. That's a job.
How do you become an influencer?
I have no idea, Graham, because if I would, I could. I mean, if I could, I would, you know?
Well, I've got no idea how they do it, but some of them apparently earn lots of money being influencers. I just don't know. I suppose that my generation don't understand that at all.
In Canberra now, in all the avenues of politics, you would have to have a department these days, would you not, that is head up by people of, years younger than you and I that know all about this stuff and how to do it, because social media has become such an important part of your overall marketing.
Yeah, every prime ministerial office now will have a section devoted to this, and they'll have to. And it's something you will have to devote more resources to over time, because one suspects that as these generations grow and the old farts like myself die off, then this sort of stuff is going to become even more important. So it's around forever now. We've got to learn how to live with it, learn how to use it if you're in politics. Because if you don't learn how to, you can bet your life your opponents will learn how to use it, and then you're in big trouble.
Well, you own a restaurant in Townsville. I mean, I've owned restaurants. You would have seen the same as I do. The number of people these days that when they get a plate of food put on their table in front of them, the first thing they do is bring out the phone and start taking photos of it.
That's right. we've all got to... I think intellectual property, slips away too easily. And there's not a lot you can do about that. I think you're stuck with it. But these influencers, they're another thing entirely.
They are.
I mean, I don't get all this, mate. I'm just getting too old and crotchety.
Yep, you and me both. Can we talk about, as you say, still the big question of the week is why have we found ourselves debating abortion for the umpteenth time? We are, as we know, Gladys Berejiklian, she has now basically decided to listen to her constituents, and they have put it off to September 17. How far out of touch do you think the Parliament is at the moment in reference to this abortion debate?
Well, I don't think they're out of touch because I don't think there was an abortion debate. I don't think there's been any calls for changes. I think it was an issue that was largely settled. And then out of the blue, up pops Berejiklian and throws the grenade through the window. I don't understand why. because it hasn't done her any good. In fact, it's caused more trouble with her supporters than it has in Labor's. So it was a pretty dumb move, no matter which way you look at it. But when you can avoid these sort of debates, you should. I mean, we spent years debating abortion, and one would have thought we'd got to a point that, you know, we've settled the issue. We don't need to redo the argument. But apparently, according to her, we do.
They're talking about five main amendments to the bill as it's gone through to the upper house. Take it out of the Criminals Act is number one. Number two, it must be illegal to use abortion to facilitate sex selection. No late-term abortions unless the health of the mother or child is at risk. There's two more thrown in: protection of the conscientious objective from doctors and nurses who don't want to participate in the process. And, Graham, the fifth one that's been talked about this week is currently, under the bill, if you have what they call a medical mistake abortion, that is, the baby is born alive, my understanding is that the baby can perish on the hospital table. Now, that's barbaric in any society, and we can't allow that to proceed.
No, I mean, that's even too horrible to contemplate, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
I mean, that's just dreadful. But of course, that's what you get into when you start doing this sort of stuff.
Yes.
And that's why I prefer to... I don't understand why we're debating it. I think most people thought this was an issue. We sorted out through long, bitter hours of debate. We didn't need another one. God knows what Gladys was thinking.
Let's talk about Australia sending 200 troops to the Middle East. It's to protect our crucial oil supplies from Iranian forces in a mission that the Scott Morrison concedes may extend beyond the initial six-month deployment. I was talking to Senator Jim Molan yesterday, and I asked him this question. I said, it seems as though the world is a pretty angry place at the moment, all over the shop. And he agreed. He said, yes, it is.
Yeah, it is, but I mean... our troops will do nothing to protect anything. 200 troops is a gesture. It isn't anything serious. And so, to my mind, it's posturing. I mean, it makes people feel a bit better, but you tell me, in that region where armies are massive, where there's billions of people who are under arms, what does that 200 do? The answer is not very much.
Okay, so what do you think we should have done, Graham, in this situation?
I think you talk to the Americans and you see what the Americans want you to do, because they're doing the heavy lifting, and so we ought to be helping them. And if they wanted 200 troops, I'd send 200. But we haven't been told that this was the result of discussions with them. I think you've got to do something to say to the Americans, we're with you. But this isn't much, 200 troops. And I would have thought the Americans might have wanted a bit more than that.
Graham, with the US-China trade deal at the moment, what would you be suggesting to, if you were in the hallowed halls of Parliament, what would you be suggesting to your colleagues that Australia, what a role should Australia play in reference to how do they keep China happy but also keep the United States happy?
Well, I mean, if Australia and a few other Western countries can keep lines open in China, then you can keep discussing the big things, like a deal with America. Yeah, there are channels, obviously, that we can use now to talk to the Chinese about them, and we ought to. I mean, these are pretty important issues, and Trump's not the most diplomatic of diplomats, and so we might be able to help him out there. I think he needs a bit of help in foreign affairs. I think he's been really desperately failing. He's done well domestically. The economy's been very good in America. But on foreign affairs, I think he is pretty clueless, and that's showing.
Yesterday, I think it was released, the assessment was from the Australian Energy Market Operator. They did an annual electricity statement of opportunities report. Long name, it aims to draw a response from suppliers to head off any power shortfalls. I made the comment yesterday that Isn't it sad because New South Wales appear to be placed well to get through summer without major power outages, although Victoria may not be so lucky, as well as South Australia. They're talking more than a million households potentially facing blackouts. Graeme, here we are in 2019. You would think, if you read parts of this report, we would be in a third world country. It's ridiculous that here we are, an energy-rich country of Australia, and they're talking about, in the middle of January, on a 40-degree day, the possibility of, you know, 1.3 million people having their power, i.e. their air conditioning, turned off for 4 hours at any time.
Well, that's because we've allowed the debate to just run away with those who advocate renewables. Renewables aren't going to fix us on the hottest day in summer. Guess what fixes you then? Coal.
Yeah.
Coal-fired power. And we can't run away from it. We need another big one on the East Coast, another big coal-fired power plant. And if the federal government has got to team up with either the Queensland or the New South Wales government and build one. And they've got to do it soon. Now, I've got to show the courage to get out there and do it, no matter who attacks them. You do get attacked for doing these things. But we've allowed these people who are in a minority to actually force the majority to have to, go without air conditioning this summer. That's ridiculous. I think we have to take control back and say to these people, these warriors who believe they can get by without electricity, that if you're old or you're vulnerable or you're very young, you can't afford the theatrics of this, because what you really need to do is just look after those sort of people. So as far as I'm concerned, big thumbs down to those who are anti-coal. We need another big coal-fired power station, and I wish that Scott Morrison or Berejiklian or someone would have the guts to start doing something about it now.
Why do you think they don't?
I beg your pardon, I'm sorry?
Why do you think they don't have the guts to do something about it now?
Because coal's on the nose, it's been a very successful campaign run to suggest that, coal's this awful stuff. Well, the trouble is, it's the stuff that's going to keep the lights on. Renewables aren't going to do the job other than fill in when you need some extra help. They can't do the baseload job. A baseload job is coal. You can switch to nuclear or whatever. We're not going to do that. We've got the coal-fired stuff ready. We've just got to use it. And that just requires some courage. The courage to face the loudest of the critics and tell them where to shove it.
100% right. I just wish that, as you said, Scott Morrison and Gladys Berejiklian would do something about it, because New South Wales is in serious trouble if they do close down the Dell Power Station.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it means, for a lot of the big power plants and things, that they're going to have a difficult period as well. This is a big problem. This is no small one, and this requires real leadership.
I agree. It's always great to catch up with you. You sound like you're at a restaurant, are you?
I am indeed. I'm in the Malaya.
The Malaya?
Overlooking the harbour.
Oh, very nice.
With a bunch of reprobates. It's all good.
I'll let you get back to it. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Thanks, Graeme.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Graeme Richardson. And our weekly chat.